Chapter 30. "I don't believe this," Eddie murmured. "I really don't." But I could see the sadness in Morgrid's purple eyes and hear it in his low, soft voice. The sorcerer was telling the truth. The horror of the truth was sinking in. My brother and I weren't Eddie and Sue from the 20th century. We lived in this dark and dangerous time. We were Edward and Susanna of York. "I tried to send you as far from this tower as possible," Morgrid tried to explain again. "I sent you far into the future to start new lives. I wanted you to live there and never return. Never return to face doom in this castle." "But what happened?" I demanded. "Why, then, are we back here, Morgrid?" "The Lord High Executioner was spying on me," Morgrid explained, lowering his voice to a whisper. "He must have known that I wanted to help you escape, and so..." He stopped, tilted his head toward the door. Was that a footstep? Was someone out there? All three of us listened. Silence now. Morgrid continued his story in a whisper. "When I cast the spell that sent you into the future, the executioner must have been hidden nearby. I used 3 white stones to cast the spell. Later, he stole the stones and performed the spell himself. He sent himself to the future to bring you back. And as you both know, he caught you and dragged you back here." Morgrid took a step forward. He raised his hand and placed it on my forehead. The hand felt cold at first. Then it grew warmer and warmer, until I pulled away from the blazing heat. As I pulled back, my memory returned. Once again, I became Princess Susanna of York, my true identity. I remembered my parents, the king and queen, and all my memories of growing up in the royal castle returned. My brother glared angrily at Morgrid. "What did you do to my sister?" he cried, backing up until he bumped into the stone wall. Morgrid placed his hand on my brother's forehead, and I watched my brother's expression change as his memory returned and he realized he was really the prince. "How did you do it, Morgrid?" Edward asked, pushing his dark brown hair off his forehead. "How did you send Susanna and me to the future? Can you perform the spell again?" "Yes," I cried. "Can you perform it once more? Can you send us to the future now before the king's men come?" Morgrid shook his head sadly. "Alas, I cannot," he murmured. "I do not have the 3 stones. As I told you, they were stolen by the Lord High Executioner." A smile slowly spread over my brother's face. He reached into his pocket. "Here they are," Eddie announced. He winked at me. "I stole them back again when the executioner captured me in town." Edward handed the stones to Morgrid. "Fastest hands in all of Britannia," he declared. Morgrid did not smile. "It is a simple spell, actually," the wizard said. He raised 3 stones into the air, and they began to glow. "I pile the stones up, one on top of the other," Morgrid explained. "I wait for them to glow with a bright white heat. Then I pronounce the words, Moverum Lavaris Moveras. I then call out the year to which the traveler is to be sent." "That's the whole spell?" Edward asked, staring at the smooth, glowing stones in Morgrid's hand. Morgrid nodded. "That is the spell, Prince Edward." "Well, do it again. Please, hurry!" I begged him. His expression grew even sadder. "I cannot," he said, his voice breaking with emotion. He returned the 3 stones to the pocket of his robe. Then he uttered a long, unhappy sigh. "It is my fondest wish to help you children," he whispered. "But if I help you escape again, the king will torture me and put me to a painful death. And then I will not be able to use my magic to help all the people of Britain." Tears brimmed in his purple eyes and ran down his wrinkled cheeks. He gazed unhappily at my brother and me. I only hope that you enjoyed your brief time in the future," he said in a whisper. I shuddered. You really can't help us," I pleaded. "I cannot," he replied, lowering his eyes to the floor. "Even if we ordered you?" Edward asked. "Even if you ordered me," Morgrid repeated. With an emotional cry, he wrapped Edward in a hug, and then he turned and hugged me too. "I am helpless," he whispered. "I beg your forgiveness, but I am helpless." "How long do we have to live?" I asked in a tiny, trembling voice. "Perhaps a few hours," Margaret replied, avoiding my eyes. He turned away. He could not bear to face us. A heavy silence fell over the tiny room. The gray light filtered down from the window above our heads. The air suddenly felt cold and damp. I couldn't stop shivering. Edward startled me by leaning close and whispering in my ear. "Susanna, look!" He whispered excitedly. "The door. Margaret left the door open when he entered." I turned to the door. Edward was right. The heavy wooden door stood nearly half open. "We still have a chance," I thought, my heart beginning to race. "We still have a tiny chance." "Edward, run!" I screamed.